Well, will you take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Romans chapter 8 as we continue our study through the book of Romans. Over the past few weeks, we've been talking about the Spirit of God. Since we are now led by the Spirit, we need to make a daily choice of walking in the Spirit or submitting to His daily direction. He is now the extension of the Father in our lives, and He desires for us to walk in step with Him. And I like this definition I heard about walking in the Spirit. The Greek word is peripateo, which means a habitual lifestyle. It's in the present tense, and it means ongoing and continuous. You see, the Lord wants us to walk in the Spirit continually, all day long, every single day. Let's read Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Then down to verse 4. In order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, we do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. And then again in verse 14. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Father, I pray that You will help us understand that this life that You are leading us in, this life that You have paid for us, this life, Father, that Jesus was willing to give us through the sacrifice that He made upon the cross, Lord, I pray that we would walk in the Spirit that You give us to lead us and to guide us and to help us along the way. I pray, Father, that we would not draw up short, but instead, Father, that we would follow You all the days of our life. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25 says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit as well. I'm kind of intrigued by the thought that we can say that we're God's child and we can offer ourselves up to Him and receive the gift that He has given us of eternal life, and then somehow choose to do what we want to do rather than what He wants us to do. That doesn't seem to make sense to me. And yet, it's how we live many times during our lives. We're willing to take the sacrifice of Christ. We're willing to take the free gift of eternal life. We're willing to take that salvation that God has offered us. God didn't offer us salvation and then just say, hey, you don't have to do anything else. What He does say is that we need to then walk in Him. We need to walk in His Spirit, the Spirit that He's given us to live with us and to live inside of us. We need to walk with Him. I think the first part of that is recognizing the Holy Spirit's promptings in our lives. Now, what I mean by that is, do you hear God speaking to you? Now, I'm not talking about an audible voice, so to speak, but I'm talking about when God speaks to your heart. Do you hear that? He speaks to our heart all the time. He's continually speaking to us. He's constantly speaking to us. The reason the Holy Spirit is doing that is because He knows the things of God. He knows everything that God wants in our lives. In fact, John chapter 16, verse 13 says, Jesus said, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. You see, the Lord did not leave us alone when He saved us. He didn't say, okay, you're saved, you're good, you know, and I'll see you in a few years when you die. But what He chose to do was to come by His Holy Spirit and dwell inside of us and walk alongside of us and encourage us. And as the Holy Spirit does, He speaks to our heart because He knows the things of God. He has the perfect answer for every situation, by the way. Now, I think sometimes we feel like we don't know what we should do, or we don't know what to say, or we don't know how to answer a certain situation in our life. But all we have to do is ask of Him. All we have to do is come to Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12 says, however, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things of God has prepared for those who love Him. These are the things God has revealed to us by His Holy Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What have we received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given to us. He has an answer for every situation that we're in. And if we'll but listen to the Holy Spirit, He will show us the way. He will guide our path. He will lead us where we need to go. He will direct you to a passage of Scripture and talk to you through that. He will let you know what you ought to do. He is purposefully showing us the mind and the heart of God. Why? Because there's nothing greater that we can do than to know the heart and the mind of Christ. You see, if you are searching for God, you will find Him if you search with all your heart, the Scripture says. And if you want to hear what He has to say to you, He will speak to you. In fact, Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call on Me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you can't even comprehend." He speaks to us through His Word. Psalm 119:105, "Your Word is a lamp for My feet, and it's a light for My path." He speaks to us through prayer. We need to be receptive, because there are some times that our prayer needs to just be quiet. In fact, Scripture says we ought to be still and know that He is God. Many times we go to prayer and we just pray and pray and pray, but we never give time for God to say anything back. What kind of conversation would that be if you and somebody else sat down and you talked the whole time and they said nothing? Wouldn't be a very good conversation, would it? But the fact is that God will speak to you if you'll listen and be receptive to what He has to say. So He speaks through His Word. He speaks through prayer. He speaks through circumstances. There are things happening all around us all the time, and in the midst of those things, God is speaking. But the reason we don't get it is because we don't perceive it. We're not perceptive. We don't listen or look for the things of God in the things that are going on around us. But God is always moving. He's always speaking. He's always acting. We need to be sensitive to the Spirit of God and what He's doing. He speaks to us through the church. We need to cooperate with the people around us in the body of Christ. So what good would it be if one of us as a person in the body of Christ did our own thing the whole time and never cooperated with the rest of the church? Would that be useful or hurtful? You can answer that out loud. It'd be hurtful. It wouldn't be helpful. You know, Paul shows us in Scripture that we are like the body of Christ, and so we all have a purpose. So let's say you're a hand in God's act, in God's body. But if your hand does anything it wants to do, how's that going to help you? It's not. We've got to work together as a part of the church. And the Spirit will not tell the church to do opposite things. It will always lead us in the right direction. So we need to recognize the Holy Spirit's prompting, because He's constantly speaking. And we need to recognize His voice. I think sometimes we don't recognize the Holy Spirit speaking to us. And again, this is not an audible voice necessarily, but there are times when God speaks and you know it's God. You know He's talking to your heart. We need to anticipate that He is speaking. He's always speaking. He is the Word. Do you realize that? He's the Word of God. God is always speaking to us. So we need to anticipate that he's saying something to me even now that I might not even know that He's saying. I need to anticipate that and recognize that God's Spirit is speaking to me. I need to pay attention to is speaking. Sometimes when somebody's talking and you're not paying attention, you miss it, right? Sometimes when somebody else is talking and you're not listening, you miss it. Oh, I just did that again. Just make sure y'all are listening. Right. I mean, things can just be audible, but you never hear it. I want everybody to be super quiet right now. Don't say a word. What do you hear? I hear the projector up here. But sometimes we don't hear God because we're not listening for it. I mean, now I can hear that all the time because I drew attention to it. Wasn't even thinking about it before. And many times we just don't pay attention to the fact that God is speaking. We need to have an analysis of His speaking. In other words, we need to understand that when God speaks, He's got a purpose for what He's saying. It's not my purpose. It's not somebody else's purpose. It's not a false teacher's purpose. It's not anything else that somebody else is trying to say. It is specifically what is God saying. And you know how you can always know what God is saying? It always lines up with His Word. He will never tell you to do something that His Word tells you not to do, and vice versa. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God, because many false prophets have gone out into this world. And believe you me, there are many people out there today teaching all kinds of things that are not of God." Why, how do you know that? Because they do not line up with God's Word. The Holy Spirit is continually speaking. He wants us to hear Him. He wants us to listen to Him. And then what do? When we hear God, we need to respond to what He has said. We need to respond to the Holy Spirit's prompting. You will never hear from God in regards to the unknowns of His will until you are obeying Him in the knowns of His will. Does that make sense? I heard somebody say this one time, and it just resonated in my mind. There's so many people that want to know what God's future will is for your life. And you know, God, why don't you lay it all out for me so I don't have to worry or fret about anything. Just lay it all out for me. And listen, folks, God's not going to tell you the knowns of your life, the unknowns of your life, until you are obeying Him in the knowns of His will. You see, we start by trusting God right where we are, doing right what He's telling us to do right now. What He may do in the future doesn't really matter. What matters is, am I being obedient right now? Am I doing what that song says we sang a while ago, trusting and obeying? You can discover God's will only when you are doing God's will. You see, God's will lays itself out for us as we obey Him. If we are disobedient, we are not open to hear His voice. God's not going to speak to us when we're disobeying. I remember one of the ways that my mom used to discipline me is when I wouldn't listen to what she had to say, she would set me over in the corner and she said, "Now when you get ready to listen, we'll talk." For me, that was the worst thing ever because I didn't like to be still ever. And I was sitting in the corner and I'm ready to get out of the corner and there's so much to do and I got to get out of this corner. But I don't want to talk. I want to go do what I want to do. And she said, "No, when you're ready to listen, then you can get out of the corner." I think so many times we're not ready to listen to what God has to say to us. We can discover God's will only when we're doing God's will. You can know God's will only when you are living in God's will. Folks, He's not gonna give you direction when you're doing your own thing. He's just not. If you're doing your own thing and not listening to Him and not wanting to hear from Him and you don't really care what He has to say to you, He's not going to talk to you. He's not gonna show you the way because you don't care. You're not listening. Listen, folks, we've got to be sensitive to the fact that God is right here with us all the time and He's trying to speak to us all the time. The second part of that is you will not know God's will regarding the big issues of your life until you're obeying Him in the small issues of your life. You know, we want the big things, don't we? God, I want to know where I'm going to be in 10 years. I want to know that my finances are going to be okay. I want to know this and this and this. And we can talk about all what we think are the big things. But look at what Luke 16:10 says. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. God's not going to put anything on you until He knows that you're willing to walk in Him and obey and trust Him. We must begin by being faithful in the very simple things of life. Being faithful in the very simple things of life. They matter to God. We must be faithful in daily things, moment by moment. Every single day, we've got to be faithful people. God is looking for those who are faithful. God is looking for those who are willing to do what He says to do right now. He's willing to use us. Thirdly, this morning, relying on the Holy Spirit's provisions. The Holy Spirit is here because God says, I want to send you an encourager. I want to send you a comforter who will walk alongside of you. There are two ways to try to live. We can live in the flesh, and we do a pretty good job of that sometimes. Or we can live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, how does that happen? It means I'm walking daily with my mind and my heart in tune with God. When I get distracted from that, with selfish desires or something that takes my focus off of God, I'm immediately not going to think about the things that God wants. I'm going to think about the things that I want. That's the way we are. But God wants us to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the only way to do that is as you are walking, wherever you are going, whatever it is that God is saying to your life, as you're going through this day, our prayer has got to be, God, I don't want what I want. I want what You want. Would You speak to me? Would You show me? Would You direct my path today? Will You lead me in the path that You have for me? Will You allow me to hear You today? And because of that, we can then be empowered by the Holy Spirit and we can walk according to His path for us. It's futile and sinful to live in the flesh. I tell you, folks, we've all made mistakes. And every single mistake that we've made is because we are walking in the flesh. And it's our sinful desires that come out. And it's our desires that we want to see come to pass that come out. We can't live the Christian life. There's no way we can, by the way. On our own. It's futile. You can't do it. But we can live the Christian life when we live in the power of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15 says, "For no one could lay a foundation other than the one that's already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation, using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it's burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames." Paul is saying to the church of Corinth, listen, you can live on your own and do what you think you're going to do. And even things that you do supposedly that are Christian things, if you're not motivated by the power of the Holy Spirit, They're going to be wood, hay, and stubble, and they're going to burn up. But when we listen to the Holy Spirit and we go and do what He's called us to do, when we act as though God would act, when we live in the wisdom of God rather than in the knowledge of man, God will use us. It's fruitful and fulfilling to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, because when the Holy Spirit is in charge, when He's leading us, when He's showing us what we ought to do, when He's guiding us along the path that we ought to go, we will become fruitful in the work of God. John chapter 15, verse 5 says, "I am the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our confidence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter of the law kills, but the Spirit of the law gives life." Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have a great endurance and patience." Now look at how Paul addresses this to the church at Colossae. He says, listen, we're not praying that you guys just get along okay. We're not praying that your church just grows in numbers. We're not praying for all the things that a lot of churches are looking for, a good healthy budget and good leadership and all. He says, that's not what we're praying for. We're praying that you will have wisdom and understanding that only the Spirit can give. And when the Spirit gives that, you will begin to bear fruit in every good work. You will grow in the knowledge of God Himself. You'll be strengthened with all power according to His glory and might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Folks, that's a beautiful picture of what it means to walk in the Spirit of God. And when we're relying on the Holy Spirit's provision, we will then begin to reap the Holy Spirit's productivity. Not ours. We'll begin to reap the product of the Holy Spirit working in us. When that happens, it produces victory over sin and the flesh. Do you have something you've been struggling with for a long time in your life? When you begin walking in the Spirit and trusting in Him and His power and His might, you will begin to see and understand that He can do all things when we can do nothing. Romans chapter 8, verses 2 through 5. We went through this the last 2 weeks. "Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by your flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires." Let me ask you this. Do you desire what the Spirit wants in you? Do you desire what God wants to do in your life? Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. The last part of that verse says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." When we do that, it produces victory over sin and flesh in our life. And it also produces spiritual fruit. We all know this passage in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 25, talking about the fruit of the Spirit. But when you stop and think about it, we can have none of that without the Spirit. Because this is the fruit of the Spirit. Does that make sense? This means yes, this means no, this means I fell asleep during church. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. Why? So that we can live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. Crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us what? Keep in step with the Spirit. Walk in Him. How's your walk going? How's my walk going? It produces spiritual fruit. If there's no fruit, there's no walking in the Spirit. People can tell, even when they don't understand and know, they can tell if you're walking in the Spirit. They might not know why it's happening. They may not understand it. They might not be able to comprehend that it's coming from the Spirit. But the Spirit will make Himself known in your life. It also produces peace and confidence in our lives. Again, in Romans chapter 1, chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, it says, therefore, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Are you walking in worry? Verses 15 and 16 says, the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And then in verses 5 and 6 it says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on the Spirit, what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. And so we can take a spiritual litmus test. You know what a litmus test is? You know, it's that little strip of paper, and you put it in a liquid, and if it turns one color, it means it's an acid, or if it turns a different color, it means it's a base. It's either an acid or a base. There's nothing in between. It's going to stay one color or it's going to turn a different color. The Spirit is our litmus test. And so we can ask ourselves the question, are we walking in worry? Are we walking in fear? Are you walking in frustration? If those are things that are guiding your life right now, then I can tell you that you're not walking in the Spirit. Because when we walk in the Spirit, we're changed from the inside out. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides in us still, and with all we will trust and obey. Lastly, it produces visible and verbal witness. Let me tell you something, folks. I have a problem today. Now, I know I have more than one problem. But I have a problem today. And my problem is this. If, in fact, Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior, if, in fact, that you've called on Him to be your Lord and you repented of your sins and you want to go His way and not your own way, if, in fact, then the Holy Spirit has come to dwell inside of you, if, in fact, that now He is willing to lead you and guide you wherever He wants you to go, if we don't do what God has called us to do, which is to what? To tell people about Him, then all of those first things can't be right. They can't be right. If we know God, He is our Lord, that means He's in charge and we're not, we're walking in His Spirit, then we must do what He's called us to do. And He's called us to be His ambassadors. as though He was making His appeal through us, the Scripture says. That's what we're supposed to be doing. How's it going? Are you walking in your own flesh? Am I walking in my own flesh? Or am I walking in the Spirit of God? You see, when I do what God has called me to do, it produces visible and verbal witness. John 15, verses 26 and 27. When the Advocate comes, the Holy Spirit, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who comes out from the Father, He will testify about Me, and you also, what does it say? Must testify, for you've been with Me from the beginning. Scripture says, listen, if the Holy Spirit indwells you, you're going to tell people about Jesus. What's the converse of that? If you're not telling anybody, the Holy Spirit must not be living in you. John chapter 16, verse 14. He will glorify Me because it's from Me that He will receive what He will make known to you. The Holy Spirit will always glorify God. It won't glorify people. It won't glorify thoughts and processes. It will glorify God. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you might be one of My witnesses. No, doesn't say that. You ought to be My witness. No. You probably will be My... No, it says you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. When we moved here in 2000, my kids thought we were at the end of the earth. We moved here from Houston, Texas. There are more people that live in Houston, Texas than all the people together combined in Colorado, New Mexico, and Wyoming. That's how many people live in Houston. We moved here. And my kids are going like, what are we doing here? Why are we here? We're being obedient to the call of Christ. Doing what He asked us to do. God is taking us to the uttermost parts of the world. Somebody told us when we moved here, it's not the end of the world, but you can see it from here. You know what? It's not the end of the world at all. There are people here that live in Craig, Colorado that need to hear the truth. And if we don't tell them, who's going to? Amen or oh me? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's one thing to think about hearing and living in the Spirit. But it's another thing to walk in the Spirit. And that means we've got to choose to step out. We've got to choose to be obedient to what You say, what You've called us to do. We've got to choose to listen to Your voice. We've got to choose. And it's not easy because our sinful nature speaks so loudly. And there's many times that we can't seem to turn it off. But with You, all things are possible. Lord, we need to not only live in the Spirit, we need to walk in the Spirit. So things have to change. What's on the inside now needs to come out on the outside. And so, Lord, I'm asking You to help us walk in You. Because when You're lifted up, You will draw all men to You. You'll receive glory and honor. You will receive people coming to You because they see real life. And not just existence. Father, I pray today if there's someone who's been listening to this message today, it comes straight out of Your Word, and they realize that maybe they went down to the front of a church one time and wanted to join the church and be saved, thinking that they got their ticket punched to go to heaven. They've not done anything since. Lord, I'm asking you to speak to their hearts right now. Because there'll be many that say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we go and visit in your name? Didn't we go to the prisons? Didn't we do all these things in your name? And Jesus said, I will look at them and say, depart from me. I never knew you. You were workers of iniquity. In other words, even the religious things you did not bring me glory. Because they were all works of your own hand. God is looking for the works of His hand, His Holy Spirit, in us. So I pray today that if there's anyone listening who realizes they've never truly accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, Lord means He's in charge. I pray that they will receive you today, that they will turn their life over to you. Help them, Lord. Speak to their hearts right now. Whether they're here in this building or they're watching online or they're listening later on, I pray, Father, that you will speak to their heart right now. And they will call upon you. And they'll turn from their wicked ways and they will come to you. And then they will begin a life of sharing the good news with people around them. Lord, I pray today for anyone who might be looking for a church home. If this is the place that you've called them to be, we'd love to have them. But Lord, we're not looking for names to put on a list. We're looking for people who are willing to share the good news with other people so that we can reach this community and beyond for you. Whatever it is that God might be speaking right now to your heart, I would encourage you to do something about it. Maybe it's right there where you're seated. Maybe you want to pray and ask Jesus to come into your life and give Him your life and choose Him as your Lord. Just do that. It's not the words of a prayer. It's the attitude of your heart. You can do that. We're going to have a time of invitation, as we typically do.